Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode 13 of The Whole Child. We're back. So we took like a little gap, like a little hiatus. And so like, how does it feel to be back, Kimberly?
I think we needed to be back, right? I even considered being like, maybe we shouldn't. But I feel like we really need to have some conversations, and so I'm glad to be back. It's a lot going on though, so
Well, this has been an interesting adventure, and so for those of you that are watching the stream, thank y'all for watching. For those that will listen for the replay or watch the replay later, thank you. Again, I just want to just highlight the platforms that we are on. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Twitch, Apple Podcast, and recently just got approved for iHeartRadio.
Okay, yeah. Big announcement. We are here. Okay.
Well, God, do it.
Awesome. Amen. That is awesome. Love it. I love that. That's
what's up. So what are we talking about today, Kimberly?
So, you know, our show here is called The Whole Child, and real conversations about breaking cycles of trauma and building positive coping mechanisms. And with everything that is going on, we just really felt like we needed to go almost back to square one and remind the people of what trauma exactly is, because I think it's so easy for people to put trauma in a box, right, and just think it's only one particular type of life event, when everything that is happening around us right now is trauma. So we just kind of need to go back and reestablish and situate it within the current context, because we're saying this like we're like there's a lot going on, and then we have like this huge pregnant pause, because there is so much. I was sharing with you before we jumped online, there was some protests in Philly last night, and it has just erupted. There was another black man who was fatally shot last night, and people are over it, right? So that, of course, has spilled into schools and spilled into communities, and it's just so much that's going on. And that's not an isolated event, but it's something that, again, has just been pushed into the forefront. So I think, you know, our mission here is really to make sure that people are empowered with information, but also understand how all of this can be used to help our children, because we are here for our kids. And that's what even drove us to start this podcast and start this show, is because we know that our kids are really going through a lot, and we really have to break those cycles and own the things that we can own, and then help process the things that we don't own, but we have to live through. So here we are, right?
Here we are.
Whew! All right. Deep breath. So in previous episodes, we talked about the power of breathing, right? And we've talked about how many of us don't breathe in order to decompress. We breathe in order to sustain life, like it's a very shallow type of breathing. And it's just not enough to help enough oxygen get to every part of our body to really help our heart rate come down and all of that. So I'm going to ask that we take some space here to do another deep breath, because the first time, I don't know that I really did that good of a job. So. And those of you who are watching, we invite you to do the same. You may notice that when you take those deep breaths that you feel where you are tense. Right. So you may need to do some body scanning and think about going from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and just really thinking through every piece of your body, right? Releasing the tension out of your jaws, right? Some of us clench our jaws or we clench our face, right? So releasing the tension out of your jaws and face, releasing the tension out of your shoulders, out of your legs, just allowing yourself to feel that release. So let's take one more deep breath. All right, I think we needed that. So having done that, let's kind of remind ourselves of what trauma is, right? And what it really means. So I have a few resources here just to kind of talk through. And this one says that psychological trauma is a response to an event that a person finds highly stressful. Now, when we think about stress, what do you think about when you hear the word stress? Like, what types of things come to your mind?
So like overwhelmed, anxiety, fearful, is mostly emotional based.
Okay. And I think about places along with emotions or conditions, right? So the first thing I thought about as soon as I said stress, COVID, I thought about the grocery store. I thought about an airplane. I thought about being out and about, because for me, COVID is still stressful. And here in Pennsylvania, cases have risen by 60%. Cool. So, right. So that is a stress, right? And for many of us, stress can manifest very differently. And on one of our previous shows, we did a self-care plan, and we talked about how stress impacts certain areas of our life. So how does stress impact you in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, in your relationships, in your work life, in your emotions, right? So when we're thinking about trauma, that trauma is a response to an event that is stressful. And because we all think about stress in different ways, there's no like cookie cutter definition for what can cause someone trauma, because stress is so subjective and stress can look so many different ways that whatever your stress is can cause trauma for you, but that may not be a stress for me. So then that might not cause trauma for me, right? So thinking about that helps us, again, to, I'm going to say this several times tonight, to give ourselves and others grace and space to be able to work through what we're feeling at the time. So trauma can cause a wide range of physical and emotional symptoms. And I wanted to talk through a few of those symptoms and then talk about the different types of trauma. So some of the emotional and psychological responses that we might have is you might, like you talked about, anger, fear, sadness, shame, confusion. I know I can say when I feel stressed, my mind feels so cloudy. I can't think about anything. I just feel very like, where am I? What did I come in this room for? I knew I was supposed to do something, or I'm supposed to be somewhere right now, and I can't even remember where I'm supposed to be. So a lot of confusion, anxiety, depression, numbness. A lot of people will say that when they are stressed, they don't feel anything, or they utilize substances to help them not feel anything because it's just too much and it's overwhelming. Guilt, hopelessness, irritability, like I said, difficulty concentrating. So if you are seeing these things in yourself, number one, recognize that you are stressed. But number two, recognize that you are stressed because there are different traumas that are happening around us. So I mentioned one, which is COVID, right? So now, what is this? April, May, June, July, August, September, October. So we have been in a worldwide pandemic for 7+ months now, where we are on edge, like, you know, somebody don't have their mask on. We're like, really, you out here without a mask? While other people are like, I'm not wearing a mask at all. Like, I'm just out here all willy-nilly. Where we go to the grocery store different, we go to the mall different, like everything is just so different, the way that we do things. And I think originally, many of us were just kind of like, oh, you know, we'll get back to normal, Right?
Right.
Everything will get back to normal. And I submit that normal as we knew it is probably never coming back. And that is a trauma. And that is a grief, right? That's a loss that we have all collectively felt, that, you know, those plans that we had. Like, I turned 40 in February, right? I'm supposed to be on an island somewhere, child, like living it up. But the borders are closed. So I'm probably not going to an island, you know what I mean? And thinking about all the people that have celebrated birthdays this year, they had these grand plans and didn't get to do what they thought they were going to do. And we look at our vision boards that we all set up in January, and we were like, yes, honey, this is going to be my year 2020 vision, right? That's what everybody yeah. was yelling. And now we're like, child, I'm just trying to make it through. Like, when is this year over, right? So that grief and going through that grief experience is a trauma. That's traumatic. So let me talk about the three types of trauma to kind of put this in context. So there's acute trauma, and acute trauma is like a single event that happens. Like something comes up and it's just, you know, that one time thing. So that might look like your house burning down, or the loss of a job, or a sudden death, right? So it's that one thing, but everything else is pretty copacetic, pretty okay. Like it's that one event that has caused some type of stress, and it's usually pretty short-lived as far as the actual event. Now, the impact of the event might last a little while, but the actual event is that one thing. This one thing happened. Okay, now that one thing is over. So then the next part is chronic trauma. And this is the place where we center a lot of our conversations about our kids that look like us, right? So when we are talking about chronic trauma, this is repeated and prolonged exposure to stressful events. So that could look like domestic violence or child abuse, or being homeless for an extended period of time, or COVID, because it's dragging on and on, right?
Right.
Excuse me. So thinking about the people that we know that have been in situations of chronic trauma, and going back to those symptoms that we talked about and those responses, the anger, the fear, the sadness, the shame, the anxiety, the depression, right? So now it's beyond, oh, this thing just happened. It's like, this is my new normal. So now what do I do with that? How do I process that? Like, what does that look like? And now I find myself in these constant states, or trying to put myself into a place where I'm numbing myself because I don't want to deal with my new normal. And then the third type of trauma is complex trauma. And that's the trauma that I really wanted to talk about today, because complex trauma is a result of all of it. It's from exposure to multiple traumatic events, and they can be chronic events, they can be acute events, it can just be thing after thing after thing. And good Lord, if that has not been 2020.
Yeah.
So if we go back and think about 2020, in January, Kobe Bryant died, right? And we were all like, OMG, not Kobe. Like, you've got to be kidding me, right? So everybody processes that, tries to get through that. Okay, then COVID hit, right? So then we're like, okay, so now we're trying to process that and get through that. And then we have the murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and then the country being in civil unrest and protests and riots and, you know, all the things. And we're just seeing our communities in disarray. So then those things happen. Then we add the election on top of that, and all of the foolishness that has happened from the national level all the way down to the local level. So then that continues to happen. And our kids are not in school. Then they try to go back to school, but do they wear a mask or do they not wear a mask? Like, what is that going to look like? And there's not enough PPE, and there's no toilet paper, and there's no Lysol. There's no Clorox wipes, right? So all of these things just continue and continue to happen. Then you look at all the hurricanes that came through and kept hitting the same spots, and murder hornets, and oh my God, complex trauma, just thing on top of thing, on top of thing, on top of thing. As Gretchen said, it's mental and emotional, and it takes a toll on a person.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if it's taking a toll on us as adults. What does that look like for our kids? What type of toll is it taking on them? And I think sometimes we don't give, especially our little kids, the credit to know that they have thoughts and they think things and they feel energy and they know that something is off and they're responding, but they don't have the words to articulate how they're feeling. And just pretending that it's not happening is not going to make it go away. So then how do we provide the safe spaces to be able to engage in those conversations in order to give our children some sense of safety in the midst of this world where we know we can't guarantee it, but how do we give them some sense of safety and security in knowing that they're going to be okay as much as they can be okay, you know? So one of the things I know that we talk about all the time is breaching the conversation and having the conversation, right? So that might start off with, how are you feeling? And it's a pretty simple question, right? But what have we said like many times, we'll ask the question, but then we don't wait for the response. We gotta wait for the response. And we might have to do a couple deep breaths. Just wait for the response because it needs to come. And not just, I know we have mentioned before, like don't, when you ask someone how they're doing, make sure that you're intentional with getting that response. So this is not, you know, just a passing, oh, I'm good. What does good mean? How does good feel? What does good feel like or look like for you? Wait, wait. So, what exactly has happened today that has made you feel good? Right? And not just accepting the blanket, oh, fine, yeah, things are fine, things are okay. So, I want to model that with us. So I'm gonna ask you and you ask me, and we're gonna practice some emotional integrity and model what this might look like to further probe to what is happening. So Bianca, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling really exhausted.
What's making you feel exhausted?
I think that with just everything that's going on in the world, it definitely is taking a toll on me emotionally and also mentally, where I'm just looking around like, why can't humans act right? Why can't we just do better? Why can't we be better humans? Why does accountability always feel like an attack? Why can't we just hold people accountable because accountability is love and move on and let's move on in the world. But there's a lot of evil energy and spirits and that drains people. So
And when you find yourself feeling exhausted, how do you process that?
I power down and I work focus on things that make me happy. So either I am watching TV or watching a particular movie or reading a book or just laying out and just being one with myself and just having a come to Jesus moment and to kind of get me ready for the next day.
I appreciate that.
All right, so how are you feeling today, Kimberly?
If I had to choose a word, I would say anxious would probably be my word. Yeah, I think anxious.
So, where does the anxiousness come from?
I think very much so from sensing the energy that's in the atmosphere, right? So I try to curate my own space and have like my home is very peaceful, and I surround myself with people that are like-minded, and I try to shield myself from the foolery, from lack of a better way to put it. But I am recognizing and not oblivious to the fact that so many people, and you kind of said this, are uncovering their real intentions and are operating from real life demonic places. And it makes me be kind of on pins and needles to really just make sure I'm able to make a quick pivot if something goes left, right? So my anxiousness is kind of a thing that's making me be prepared, right? So it's like, what's option A, B, and C? 1, 2, and 3, in case we got to make a move, because people out here doing the most, for lack of a better way to put it. So, yeah, it's just really that. I just sense it in the atmosphere, and I sense it. I can't get away from it because it's in the work that I do. It's when I talk to my friends, right? And I have a tendency of just calling people and just being like, yo, can such and such, blah, 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 something, 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 something. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, how you doing though? Right? So remembering to make space to honor how someone is doing, or remembering to, recognize people's social cues, you know. So like if someone is like, hey, how are you? And then the person is like, oh, I'm good. Uh-oh, what's going on? Right? So then taking the pause to intentionally listen at that time. So I'm trying to balance all of that, right? And do it for myself because I forget to honor what I might be feeling because I'm busy trying to prepare. So I'm not really powering down. So, for instance, when we were breathing just now, I was like, ooh, like I'm sitting here, my legs are clenched. Why? Like, why am I sitting here with all of this anxious energy in me? So, yeah, just being really aware of what's happening with me as I'm responding to what's happening in the environment.
So, what strategies do you use to really help when you are anxious and to find that balance?
Yeah, I think I lean a lot on my circle, right? So I have a really amazing group of people that I surround myself with. So thinking about you and the other people in Teaching for the Culture, and thinking about my best friend or my cousin, like these are people that I know I can be vulnerable with, and I can have a moment to just have a moment, like whatever that looks like. So I definitely lean on them. I try to drink some water. I will notice that when I'm anxious, I don't do a good job at eating and drinking. Like I'm just, because I'm going, 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 going. So I'm not making time to eat, not making time to drink. A whole day done passed, and I ain't took a sip of nothing, you know? So being intentional about making sure I drink some water and taking a walk. I live pretty close to a river, and I sometimes will just get up and just go walk, just like I need to go take a walk. So that allows, again, that oxygen to get flowing and allows my brain to process what it's taking in. And then lastly, I journal. And honestly, I really don't like to write. I'm not really a reader writer. I'm more of a math science type of chick. But I am really appreciating the release that I get from either writing or doing like a voice message or voice memo, so that I'm able to get the thoughts out of my head as opposed to keeping them in my brain and ruminating on them and just kind of staying in that spiral. So I find that that helps me to move through.
Well, you just taught me a strategy that I'm definitely going to use moving forward. And that is the voice memo. Because sometimes just the thought of just writing it out, I'm like, ooh, I don't like stuff in writing. You know, I'd be a little funny about that. And, you know, so I think the voice memo would be really helpful just to kind of keep it secured. And just that's just my place to just talk.
So, just in that exercise, right, that we just did, it's really just that simple, y'all. Like, it's really just that simple. And again, making one thing I can say about you, Bianca, is you are an excellent listener. Like, excellent. that you leave the space, like you will literally just let somebody talk and just go ahead on and talk, you know. But making that space to leave room for that, you know, leave room for if somebody is wanting to add on to what they said. And if not, then ask me a follow-up question to dig a little deeper. And that's something that I appreciate with us in our friendship, that we do dig deeper, right? It's not just the surface, oh yeah, I'm cool, cool. All right then, girl. Like, no, it's like, no, what's going on? What's new? What's happening? Like, talk to me, right? Because we need to be able to process things sometimes. And parents, that's who you are for your children, right? So your children should be able to come to you and know that they can get wisdom, that they can get guidance, that they're safe to share their feelings with you. It's happening right now, and they don't know what to do with it. And honestly, a lot of it is manifesting as behavior issues. They don't know how else to get it out. I ran across this show, and it's totally inappropriate, the show. It's called Big Mouth. It's a cartoon.
Oh, yes, on Netflix.
It is so inappropriate. But the reason I bring it up is because it's based in middle school, right? Yeah. And I spent my entire career in middle school, and I just love middle school kids. But it was a reminder for me of how many things are going on in their world and how they are trying their best to present normally, if you will, and there's so much that's coming back at them. So think about not just my body is changing, our hormones, like I'm trying to navigate all of these friendships and relationships and all of these things, but then on top of that, I'm also trying to navigate this world. And I'm trying to think about all of the things that I need to do to stay safe in this world. And about how I'm being triggered every time I see a police car, or I'm being triggered every time I turn on the news, I'm being triggered every time I see a particular political sign, right? How do they process all of that? They don't know how. Mm-hmm. So where's their safe space and their safe place to receive some grace so that they can say, I'm mad as hell and I don't know what to do about it. There has to be a place for that. You know, and I don't know that we as adults always do a good job of that. And a lot of that is because we don't have that place. So we haven't processed ours. So they can't come to us because we all wound up and we don't know what to do with our stuff. So we can't take their stuff too. So then it's like, you need to go deal with your stuff and I need to figure out my stuff. But we are not doing the job of figuring out our stuff. So I'm a firm proponent of therapy. It works. And I know that in our communities, in our Black and Brown communities, that's not the first place that we turn. But it is really a non-biased, impartial person that can truly help you process your thoughts and think through what you're feeling and have an opportunity to release your stuff so that you can help your babies. Because they need you. And if you don't deal with your stuff, how are they ever going to learn to deal with theirs?
Yep. You're right. Well, if you don't give your child a safe space at home, they're definitely finding those safe spaces online. And I'm just going to tell you that it is just a disaster on the amount of apps out here that children are able to download and have communications with adults that no one has no idea of. So parents, if you're not having conversations with your children, best believe they're having that conversation with someone else. And please pray that it's not a predator out here that's grooming your child, because there's children that are going missing right now in COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they just want to be heard. Like, that's the thing that we know, even back in the day, like when we think about gangs and all of that, like before human trafficking came so easy to come about, it was really like about gang culture. But the thing that was driving kids towards that was that they felt accepted and they felt like they had a safe place, right? So now that much more with technology and access to social media and all of the apps, all somebody has to do is listen and maybe throw out a compliment, they're good to go. They're good to go. And it's because their emotional tanks are empty. They're not being filled up at home. So it's really causing our kids to turn to other avenues to feel like they matter, to feel heard, to feel whole, because we as adults are not doing what we have to do to make sure that we're taking care of them and protecting them. Mm-hmm. And it's because we never learned it, right? So it's nobody's fault, right? We're not here to assign fault, but when you know better, you do better. So if we're introspective and we're constantly taking a look at self and constantly trying to figure out how to be better than I was yesterday, at some point I have to decide I'm going to deal with my stuff. And I'm going to deal with my stuff because my babies did not ask to be here. And they deserve a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, a big sibling that is able to provide that safe place for them. And we got to be intentional about that. You know, we talk about all the time, our kids are just too important. And unfortunately, there's a lot of foolishness and malarkey, as Joe Biden would say, that is happening on the backs of our children. And it's not okay. Our kids are not a get rich quick scheme. Our kids are not, let me step on you to get to the next level. Our kids are not punching bags. Our kids are not babysitters and pseudo adults. Our kids are kids and they need the opportunity to be kids. And we rob them of those opportunities when we don't unpack and break the cycles that we've been living in. And there's no shame. There is no shame. You know, again, when you know better, you do better. So if something is pricking in your spirit and you're like, ooh, you can't, my pastor used to say, if you can't say amen, say ouch. Those ouch moments are the ones that help us grow. And all of us have had to have them. At some point, all of us have been like, ooh, I probably need to tighten up right there. No shame, just tighten up. And we're tightening up so that we are able to help the next generation, because we want them to be so much better than us, you know?
Yeah.
What you thinking over there?
I'm just thinking of just our kids and just the climate that they're in. And I just really pray for the people that's listening and the people that will watch this later. I really hope that they are intentional, because just the stuff that is on social media that our kids are watching and the foolishness that's going on, it's just breaking them. And we have to have these serious conversations so that we can break these cycles, because it's real. And there's generational curses. There is generational, from generation to generation, there's something that's there that we have to break and we have to move forward. And we're not going to be able to do that unless we're intentional with that. And I'm just thinking about the kids right now and how they feel. Some, you know, don't have proper e-learning right now. They're in homes where, you know, they're not motivating learning at this point. They're being fussed at because of their grades, because, you know, we're ending up the first 9 weeks. We're in the second 9 weeks now. So it's just a lot going on. And so just my head is just all over the place with just this topic, because I just think about the children and how they feel during this time. And do they have a safe space? And if they don't, then I think about all the other spaces that are created on social media that are damaging for children. And that's the part that really scares me.
Yeah. And like you always say, checking the phone and yes. Checking the phone with the intention of having a real conversation. Right. So the conversation is not you so this and you so that and you just like this one and you out here fast and da da da. Mm-mm. What made you feel like you wanted to receive this type of attention, or what made you feel like this was a safe place or something that you wanted to do? It's like we have to get out of when I was in the classroom, I taught science and I used to talk about inquiry all the time, right? So I wasn't looking for a right or wrong answer. I'm looking for your thought progression. I need to understand what you're thinking so that we can, I can meet you there and get you to where I need you to go, right? It's the same thing with this. We need to understand what they are thinking and what is driving them to make their decisions so that we can help guide them to good decisions. But if we're super reactive and trying to punish and, you know, calling names and degrading them and, you know, comparing them to ungodly things, everything but a child of God, that's not inspiring them to be any better, one. But two, we've gotten no information about what drove them there in the first place. All we've taught them to do is hide what they're doing a little bit better than they did last time so they don't get in trouble. You know, so it really is, that's the cycle. You know, the cycle is, and the what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And we continue to do that. Generation mm-hmm. after generation, we continue reacting in ways that are not conducive to change. And we're not really taking the time to see people and honor that people are people. And even little people are people. And they do have thoughts. And they do have needs. And they do have emotions that we should tend to and honor. So that's it. We just really wanted to kind of present that to you all and challenge you all to have some meaningful conversations, especially before next week, because we know that the world as we know it is going to change one way or another on November 4th, November 3rd, that night. So we want to be prepared for what might happen and what our kids might be experiencing. For anyone who, anybody who is an educator out there, making sure that you're preparing yourself, that you are properly processing what you're feeling, because your students are not gonna know what to do with what they are feeling. So be prepared to have those intentional conversations. And that doesn't mean that you are talking politics. We're talking self-awareness. And we're talking self-management, right? That's the important conversation to have in helping our kids to recognize how they feel. And we do that best by modeling how we are feeling. So, yeah.
Whew. Well, this was a very deep and impactful episode. And I hope that everyone that's listening enjoyed, you know, the whole child and what we talk about. And I hope that you take this episode and really hone in to have conversations with your children, because it's a tough time for your kids, especially if you haven't been intentional with them and they are active on social media. It's a lot of stuff that's going on these phones that you just have no idea. So I just thank you so much, Kimberlyn, for always putting your wisdom in there, and please plug in your website. You have a new book. We need to highlight that and emphasize that. So before we leave here, please tell the people about your book and how they could find you and what you do, so that there's people listening out here that want to connect with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So I am an educator, will always be an educator, and I just educate in different ways now. So one of the things that I do is I'm a life coach, and I work with helping people to discover their God-given purpose. And I have an online curriculum called Discover Your Destiny, where I take you through an 8-week process of really unpacking who God created you to be so that you are able to truly tap into purpose and discover your destiny. I also am an author. So I just released a new book project, and it is a collaboration project with myself and about 40 other women who got together and created this devotional. So it's a 365-day devotional, over 400 pages of declarations, affirmations, and encouragements. So you can find that on my website at KimberlynJackson.com. And you can also find my life coaching work there. I have a mentoring program as well for adolescent girls and all the other 5011 jobs that I have. So you can find all of that on my website at KimberlynJackson.com. on Facebook at Kimberlyn Jackson, as well as on Instagram at Kimberlyn J. If there are any brown girls out there, I also have 2 talk shows on the Beautiful Brown Girls Network. So that's another place that you're able to find me on Facebook and Instagram weekly. And yeah, I'm just out here trying to make a difference and to spread the light wherever I can and leave people better than I found them.
Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to highlight that. So I will make sure that, well, Kimberlyn will make sure that she put her links in the comments so that way you can find her and support her. And thank y'all so much for tuning in to Teaching for the Culture, teaching. Wow. I totally messed up. Let's rewind. Thank you so much for tuning in to Teaching for the Culture and today's episode of The Whole Child. And everyone, y'all have a blessed night.
Have a good one, y'all.